Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
It's time for a rendezvous with our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who I try my utmost to engage in a conversation regarding our present Pope, the previous Pope to take the name Benedict, and an encyclical focusing on that great Italian poet, Dante.
Okay, I'd like to start deep in hell.
What is this now?
I'd like to start deep in hell and end in high heaven. Dante, the great poet.
Oh, my.
Deep in hell and high in heaven.
What are you going to... But what follows?
I want you to just to translate.
Deep in hell. But who's deep in hell? We deep in hell and high in heaven. We, they, you, I, she, what?
The pilgrim poet, okay. Dante, the great pilgrim poet who started deep in hell and ended high in heaven.
Ah, poeta. Immersus in inferos. In celosque sublatus. And having been raised high into heaven, the poet, having been forced down into hell, submersus in inferos, sublatusque in celos.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we all know, he wrote 3 books, no? That's why he's gone from hell to heaven, passing in purgatory in between, no? It was a kind of hell to heaven adventure. A hell to heaven adventure?
Adventure is almost impossible to say. Eventus mirabilis inter inferos et celos.
Pope Benedict XVI likes Dante. He often quotes from Dante, which is something that I noticed. He did so in the Immaculate Conception there on his speech. He was speaking about Mary and what Dante says about Our Lady, etc. But in particular, in January 2006, he met with the people from the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, no? The Human and Christian Development Office in the Vatican. And his speech, the whole first page of his speech on that occasion, he quotes from Dante. Various times. Well, he speaks about Dante. And in particular, he quotes from Paradise, obviously. He talks about the love that moves the sun and the other stars. How does one say that?
I don't know what Dante said, but anyway.
This is a quote from Dante.
Okay. Amor solem qui movet et sidera omnia. Ah.
The Pope says, light and love are one and the same. They are the primordial creative powers that move the universe.
Lux et amor idem sunt viresque quibus. What's the universe?
They are the primordial creative powers.
Bene viresque, primigene, powers by what?
Creative powers that move the universe.
Ah, you see, that I didn't get that. That move the universe. Viresque, pristine, quibus, rerum movetur universitas. You can say that's all easy stuff.
And then he goes on to say, if these words in Dante's Paradiso betray the thought of Aristotle, who saw in the Eros the power that moves the world.
Oh, Lord, spare us.
Dante, nevertheless, perceived something completely new and inconceivable for the Greek philosopher. Not only that the eternal light is shown in 3 circles, which Dante addresses using those terse verses familiar to us. Quote from Dante, O everlasting light, you dwell alone in yourself. Know yourself alone, and known and knowing love and smile upon yourself.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Okay. The Pope also says that the vision of Dante reveals, on the one hand, the continuity between Christian faith in God and the search developed by reason and the world of religions. At any rate, he admits to the fact that this understanding of love in Dante led him to choose love as the theme of his first encyclical, no?
He says,
I wanted to try to express for our time and our existence some of what Dante boldly summed up in his vision. He tells of a sight that was altering as he gazed on it and was being changed, interiorly changed. It didn't say that in English, interiorly changed. At any rate, what I'm trying to get at is that Pope Benedict has a huge interest in Dante. So I just wondered why this was. So one of the people who inspired him to take the name Benedict was Benedict XV. So I went along and did a little bit of research, and I discovered that on the sixth centenary of Dante's death, it was 1921, Pope
Benedict XV
wrote an encyclical called In Preclara Sumorum, which means what, In Preclara Sumorum?
Well, its first words don't mean anything. In the excellent, I don't know what follows, seat of the greatest people. I don't know what follows, but see, the first two words mean nothing. In Preclara Sumorum, in the outstanding of the greatest people. Oof, whatever that means. Outstanding what? I don't know.
Oh, let's see. I have it here.
Oh, I have to look into that. I have to look into these things. Now that you're... You can't do everything. Dante.
He calls Dante the most eloquent singer of the Christian idea. Among the many celebrated genius of whom the Catholic faith can boast, who have left undying fruits in literature and art especially, besides other fields of learning, not only in art and literature, in other words, and to whom civilization and religion are ever in debt, highest stands the name of Dante Alighieri. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
1921, he's speaking to professors. He addresses this encyclical to professors and students of literature and learning in the Catholic world. Then he calls him a divine poet. How would you say divine poet in Latin?
Poeta divinus.
Divine.
Or vates divinus, depends how I say it.
And he says that he's an example to us as Catholics. But you know something that I discovered? He says in this encyclical,
this is Pope Benedict XV,
that he was basically a disciple, Dante, of one of your chums.
Thomas Aquinas.
That's right. You guessed.
Everyone knows that. I mean, the dogs out in the street know that one.
How do you say dogs on the street know that?
Canis triviales.
He says, Dante lived in an age which inherited the most glorious fruits of philosophical and theological teaching and thought and handed them on to succeeding ages. And this is what I'd like you to translate. With the imprint of the strict scholastic method. How does one say that?
Cum rationis scholastice vestigio firmo.
Firmo is strict.
Yeah, strict.
Amid the various currents of thought diffused then, too, among learned men, Dante ranged himself as a disciple of that prince of the school so distinguished for angelic temper of intellect.
Oh, there you go.
St. Thomas Aquinas. So how do you say, Dante ranged himself as disciple of that prince
ranged.
Of the school? Ranged himself. In other words, he...
Say, collocavit.
Yes, collocavit. As a disciple, I'm not sure that these translations are very good.
No.
Dante placed himself... Perhaps.
Pose would say discipulum.
As disciple of that prince of the school.
Principis scholarum.
So distinguished for angelic temper of intellect.
Angelico intellectus. Now you wouldn't say. My angelico intellectus ingenio.
From whom he gained nearly all his philosophical and theological knowledge.
A quo ferre omnem suam derivavit cognitionem theologicam et philosophicam. Let's face it.
We're speaking about Dante here, no? While he did not neglect any branch of human learning, at the same time he drank deeply at the founts of sacred scripture and the fathers. He drank deeply at the founts of sacred scripture and the fathers.
That's St. Thomas. I don't think it's Dante. I don't know what he's talking about here.
No, he's talking about Dante.
Penitus hauset ex sanctorum patrum et scripturarum fonte.
Because he's speaking about Dante, because
St. Thomas does the same.
Mm.
In every other sentence, he's always quoting someone.
Pope Benedict XV
also speaks about Dante using symbolic images and recording the lives of the mortals on earth. No?
I don't know.
But his true aim was the glorification of the justice and providence of God, who rules the world through time and all eternity, and punishes and rewards the actions of individuals and human society. And at this point, he mentions the fact that Dante inveighs with terrible bitterness against the supreme pontiffs of his time. This is in the encyclical. He inveighs with terrible bitterness against the supreme pontiffs of his time. How do you say that?
In pontifices maximo sui temporis vehementissime inveitor.
And get this, he adds, true, but it was against those who differed from him in politics.
Oh, my Lord. Go on.
No, how do you say that? True, but it was against those who differed
Verum
from him.
Verum said, in eos qui a se, aveo rebus in politices dissentiebant.
And he fought, were on the side of those who had driven him from his country.
From Florence.
Yeah. And he fought, were on the side of those who had driven him from his country.
Cogitabant esse ex parte eorum, qui a patria ipsum expulerunt.
Intellectual enjoyment.
That's about
that?
It.
Okay, Dante. Now, one last thing. I think this connection between the two Benedicts, our present Pope and our past Benedict the 15th, is interesting. The fact.
Well, yeah, if they're both enamored of Dante, I didn't know either one was interested.
At any rate, then I picked out something for you from Purgatory, in Dante's Purgatory. Come and behold thy Rome, that is lamenting, widowed, alone, and day and night exclaims, my Caesar, why hast thou forsaken me?
Oh my, really?
Yeah. Can you translate that?
Caesar, cur me de reliquisti. This is from scripture.
Come and behold thy Rome.
Thy Rome? Veni et respice Romam tuam.
That is lamenting, widowed, alone, and day and night exclaims.
His lamenting.
That come and behold, thy Rome that is lamenting. Widowed, alone.
Respice Romam tuam lamentantem.
My Caesar, why hast thou forsaken?
Caesare mi cur Romam tuam de reliquisti.
A huge thank you there to our popular Latin lover, his Carmelite father, Reginald Foster. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.